Thank you for joining us for Life in Taxes with tax attorney Andrew Foster of Harvell & Collins Attorneys at Law.
'Cause I'm the tax man.
Call now with your tax questions at 252-222-4848.
And we'd like to welcome Andrew Foster from Harvell & Collins, a.k.a. the tax man, in the studio. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, Mike.
How are things in the world of life and taxes?
Well, had a meaningful vote yesterday.
Yeah, in the Senate.
That's correct.
Going to spend some more money, looks like.
Spend some more money.
Yeah. Invest. They're going to invest, not spend. It's investments.
Is that what we're calling it now?
Yes, it's investments. Yeah.
So we've been talking about this really since the Biden administration took over. So since late January.
Mm-hmm,
so it's been
six, seven
months in the making relative to what piece of legislation was really going to get passed other than just signing a bunch of executive orders.
Mm-hmm.
This one's actually going to go through Congress. And so what we had here was a couple of competing spending bills, and then one of which is called infrastructure. Again, air quotes around that one.
Mm-hmm.
We had a vote yesterday to move that along. So move that to the debate process.
Yeah.
And the thing that is of note is that is the bipartisan portion of the two bills that we speak of. And that had 67 votes last night.
Right.
So there was 17 Republicans that joined with all 50 Democrats to make up the 67 senators that supported moving that forward. That does not mean that it's passed. It just means that now we're heading to debate the actual bill itself. But, Mike, what we have now is a pared-down version of this bill. It's only $550 billion. Still, very significant.
Big money. Far cry from where they started.
Far cry from where they started, yeah. We started at a couple trillion dollars on this one. Now we're down to $500 billion. And, you know, the highlights relative to it is that before, we remember when we first started talking about this infrastructure bill, what was the mechanism for paying for this? It was corporate tax increases.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, it was corporations need to pay their fair share.
That's right. They're not doing that.
Pay their fair share. That was the drumbeat relative to getting this infrastructure bill passed. And lo and behold, what's absent from this bill now?
It's corporate tax.
There's no corporate tax increases included in the bill.
Just get the presses going. Fire up the presses.
So it's really interesting. What they've done here is the way that they're paying for this is by repurposing some coronavirus relief money that didn't get spent.
Which was what in the first place, that money? Where did that come from? That just came out of thin air or off the presses.
Off the presses. So they're repurposing that money, and then they're, you know, they've got this dynamic scoring that they do relative to what job creation, et cetera, this bill is going to have. So that was another $67 billion or so. One of the things that was in the bill that was interesting, which our, you know, obviously our listeners would take notes, is that there was money earmarked for higher enforcement of the IRS. And guess what happened at the last second on that?
Well, that got pulled out.
That
was measured in billions.
Correct. So no higher level enforcement. So no higher level audits relative to paying for this particular bill. The one thing they are cracking down on is cryptocurrency. So that's the one thing that did get left in, which is they have enforcement earmarked for making sure that those crypto owners out there are paying their fair share, I guess we'd say.
I'd say to them, good luck on that. let's see what's on Steve's mind in Moorhead City. Good morning, Steve. You're on with Andrew Foster from Harvell & Collins.
Hey, good morning, and thank you for taking the call.
Sure, absolutely. What's on your mind?
Thank you. The last time I filed taxes, my memory is not good, but I believe in 2016, I filled out a form. I think it was something called either a section H or section 14, something like that, because I have never owed taxes. And I've always taken out more to make sure that I didn't owe anything. What I used to do is I would wait 3 years. Now they can go back seven, as an individual, you can go back 3 years. And so that's what I would do. And it was sort of like a little bank account. And you get 3%. At the time, it was 3% of what they owed you. Well, I got a thing in the mail today that they want to, as of today, if I don't pay, I believe it says $22,000 they're gonna take my farm. And the thing is, they're basing my tax on when I was employed. I retired in 2017, early in 2017, and yet they are treating me as if I'm still employed. And so when I try to contact the IRS, you can't talk to a human. And I don't have internet. I don't do that. And so I'm sort of wondering, what are my options? What should I do? I did get the notice from them, what you can do to dispute it. But the problem is, I can't talk to a human being. What do you do?
You need to call Harv Allen Collins, but I'll let Andrew answer that question.
I think you do,
but go ahead, Andrew.
Good question, Steve. So there's a lot of stuff you threw out there during that period of time. Okay, so let's kind of start with what you were doing relative to making your tax filings and a couple of the timing issues that you threw out there. So it's important for our listeners to know what Steve was saying is that he had enough withholding on his returns where he would wait 3 years, because that's how long you have in order to claim a refund, because we've always mentioned once that 3 year time period goes by, if you've had withholding, that's poof, it goes away. Mm-hmm. So he would try to stay at least 3 years behind, always making sure he had enough withholding to cover his tax burden. And then he would file his return in order to, or file some document, in order to claim his refund for that 3 years prior. And he said, like he said, there is statutory interest relative to that withholding that was done, the 3% that he mentioned. Mm-hmm. So that's an important distinction, because there are no penalties. There is no interest that you pay if you've already paid enough to satisfy your tax burden. The critical element there is you got to get it filed within that 3 year period so you don't lose the ability to claim that refund. So that's kind of step number one on this. Number two is that what Steve seems to have run into is the IRS will ultimately file for you if you do not file your tax return. So what does that mean? They will file what's called a substitute for return, an SFR. And when they file a substitute for return, then they are able to then assess that amount against you and say, prove to us otherwise that you do not owe this money. And what they do is exactly what Steve mentioned. They use information from other sources to try to complete a return for you. And then the burden shifts over to the taxpayer, i.e. Steve in this case, to prove that he does not owe that amount that's on that substitute for return. So the quick and easy way, Steve, to tell you that you need to combat this is, and again, not having the letters in front of me and not pulling possibly your transcripts to find out exactly where you are in this procedural realm, you know, the quick and easy way to say is that you got to go back and even if you know you don't owe anything, it's prepare those returns, get those returns prepared so that you can show the IRS, hey, look, I wasn't working. I was retired at this point in time.
Retired.
So that's one way to do it. The other way is if you're still within a window with which, and it sounds like to me, unfortunately, this has become some sort of final assessment, because now they're talking about levying, i.e. taking an asset of an individual. Steve mentioned his farm in this particular case. It appears that assessment's become final, and now all of a sudden it becomes, what avenues do we have to challenge that burden? And it may be that we would file what's called a collection due process hearing, which is basically to stop the levy of his farm and say, hey, IRS, we do not believe we owe the amount that's assessed because of XYZ. Mm-hmm. And then at that point in time, it'd be important to have those returns ready to go to show the IRS that, hey, look, Steve's retired. Steve doesn't have any income relative to certainly not the amount that you're assessing, and certainly not the $22,000 tax burden that the IRS is proposing. But again, because of this burden shift, Steve, once they file that substitute for a return, it all falls back on you to prove otherwise. And, you know, I agree, calling the IRS at this point in time seems to be a thankless task, a fruitless task. At this point in time, corresponding by writing is pretty much your only way to go. And I would say that just based upon where you're telling me without seeing the letter that you have in front of you, it sounds to me that collection due process hearing, because they're asserting a levy action against you, would probably be what I would advise at this point in time to stop the levy and then get a hearing with a hearing officer to explain why we do not believe that you owe the tax that they have now asserted against you. So that's kind of the quick and easy way that I would tell you. But again, the devil's in the details, as I say a lot of times on this program. So, you know, it's best, like you said, call my office, 726-9050, schedule an appointment with me and bring in that paperwork so I can take a look at it, and make a determination about whether or not this general advice would apply to your specific situation.
What do you think about that, Steve?
Well, where are y'all located? Because to complicate matters, what I've also done is I feel like I really do. I just give it away. I could claim a return. I do not. I have never. I'm disabled. I could get Social Security disability. I don't even take Social Security. I feel like the taxes we pay, I think they're fair. I think in general we're being well served by what we pay in taxes. I don't have a problem with that. But when they want to
Steve, I think the quick easy is that our office is on 1107 Bridges Street in Morehead City. If you need to fax me the letter or scan and email me the letter, that's always a way that you can go as well. And what I'll tell you about it is that no one wants to pay more than what they should pay.
Right.
And what it sounds like in Steve's situation is the IRS is asking him to pay more than he should. That's not a good thing.
Steve, we have to go up on a hard break here. Thank you for the call. The phone number for Harvell and Collins, Steve, is 252-726-9050, and they're located on Bridges Street at 1107 Bridges Street in Morehead City. Great call. Andrew can help you greatly on that. Give him a call today. Thanks, Andrew.